when God tells us to do a thing, but we have the reservation because the data doesn't back up what God is telling us to do. I can't get help already. In other words, what is being really tried and what is being really tested is, do we really believe God? Do we really, really, and if we really boil it down, we can shout about it, we can clap about it, we can run around this church about it, but when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, do you really believe God? When your life is on the line and your business is on the line, really, y'all in here with me, really, really built up just so much full of joy and so much full of a shout and a dance after we come through something. But we don't realize that it was the going through that strengthened us to the point of being able to trust God. The Bible says, consider it pure joy when you fall into trials of many kinds, because you know something, with patience, and patience is having a perfect work in you, or missing nothing. A better translation says of that text in James 1, it says that your perseverance, if you will, is finishing every time you go through, and maturity are being developed. In other words, your circumstances are the things that is really losing, while you touch your neighbor and say, there's some stuff in 2017 I'm going to have. Open your mouth and look at him and say, you're going to have to persevere to get some stuff. It's not going to come easy to you. The question is, are you going to really believe God? There's always going to be a journal article, you, it is impossible. But you got to be reminded that we serve the God, my God, of the impossible. Thing too hard for him. And you have to be meat snuff, even if you don't have the pet crown, even if it's in your life, he still can do a work and a wonder regardless of any of those. You flip open to Hebrews 11, the Bible says that now faith is the substance of things hoped ending. We realize and we can quote it and we can talk about it, and when it's the reality of facing a real life trial and a real life circumstance on the table, you're going to find out what kind of faith you actually have. For the Bible says we've all, because your neighbor said, you got the same faith I got. Come on here. So it's not a question you already have be revealed in your life. Slap your neighbor and say, what do you believe? Come on, man. If you're having a problem, believe, reflect on your own life first. Because if you can reflect on your own life, then you will see that God actually is. Because you will, things in my life that should have went south, and there's some circumstances that should have really taken me out. So, here and still look at your neighbor and say, God has brought me a mighty long way. You see, I'm going to have church all by myself. It's all right. Then you can go deeper into Hebrews 11 and begin to look at the individuals who did not meet snuff, who did not have the pediment by the name of Moses, who killed an Egyptian in rage and in anger, but somehow, some way, got underneath the tent of his father-in-law, Jethro. Why? Because God worked to lead the children of Israel for 40 years in the desert. Look at your name and say, God doesn't lose anything. Everything you've been through, everything you've gone through, he makes together for your good. God, look at your name and say, you're going to have to face some stuff, baby. Yes, you are. Joshua had to face Jericho. Daniel had to spend his night in the lion's den. David, I don't even want to go there with David. I'll be here all day long. Y'all ain't said nothing. Once, not twice, but three times. John was exiled on the island of Patmos. I'm preaching that's for two-thirds of the New Testament, but he was also responsible for killing a lot of Christians in his former job. Say is that your faith is qualified. If the name of say, I can pass this test, though. Come on here, somebody. That's why Paul then admonishes us, as he did Timothy, to fight the good fight of faith. The Bible says in Romans 10, 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So if I'm going to fight the good Lord front and center in my life, slap your name, come on here. If he told you some stuff was going to manifest in your life, this told you are healed in your body, then you better believe him. Believe it. Whatever he told you. I'm going to preach to myself. Oh, I believe him. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Come on, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path what? Straight. I hear the Lord very moment. Look, you win. I'm going to have church all by myself. I love it because fight is, man. Oh, it sounds cute in church. But out there, it's the real deal. But when life come at you out there, and I'm not just talking about difficulty and hardship. I'm talking about trying to step out in purpose and step into your calling. And that takes trust and hope and perseverance to believe God that you can be or do what he has. Start that. I ain't got no money. Go there. I don't know nobody. I know I'm preaching to somebody in here. I know I'm talking to somebody. Look at your name and say, you got to believe until you. I'm just trying to get you warmed up. And so the desire to live a life of faith, guaranteed trials will come. Because when your faith gets tested, it doesn't. Yes, it is private, but it is also public. And, you know, for each of us, that personal walk in relationship with God, it involved when it doesn't work out. It was going to work out. God loves me. It's the ability to come back and says, wait a second, when he asks you to take what he said he was going to give you and sacrifice it like he did with Abraham, he woke up in the morning, didn't blink an eyelash, and he left him to go. Why? Because that he promised him. And Abraham had such a relationship with God, his son and Burnham. Oh, okay, well. Well, I know that's not you, but I'm going to get a serve. I wish I had somebody in here. It's not about to let my promise die. I wish somebody got that serve. Did not bring me to God that I serve. Did not ask God that I serve. Did not. I'm bigger. Yeah, I wish I had. It's private, but it's private personally with God. But because that's when our confession of faith is, because when you start going to have somebody, what God is going to do, it seems like, oh, hell, I opened my mouth. I should not have told no. Oh, God, I'm preaching about yourself. It comes by him. World, what's your God? God is not a man that he said it. Then it's so. When it's public, and you need confession to be tested. Why? So that it can go on record for the rest of the world what he is about to accomplish and what he was about to do. Look at your name and say, so keep on believing, baby. Come on here. Don't you even think about quitting on an idea that God has given you. Don't you even think, I'm talking to somebody right now. Don't you even think about giving up on a concept God has given you. Don't you even think about quitting just because it might get a little tough, might get a little rough. I gotta hurry up and get to where I got to go. You gotta believe until you win. Faith is a fight that you gotta finish. There's something that just can't be done halfway. And the Bible says when you finish the thing, when you finish the race, you get this crown of righteousness. And so you have to understand there's something in it. When you begin to understand risk reward, you understand and you realize that you can begin to calculate that risk. And the risk that I'm talking about is not the bungee cord, jumping out of a plane, signing a lease with no information, quitting your job on a whim, because you ate bad pizza and you thought the Holy Ghost told you to quit your job. That's not what I'm talking about. Any extreme will kill you. So I'm not talking about taking risk at the extreme. When I say take risk, when I talk about that, I'm talking about that in the connection of who asked you to take the risk. In other words, if the word is behind the thing, and the Bible says that his word cannot return unto him unfulfilled or unaccomplished, but it must find its purpose and fulfill it before it returns to God, then you can actually take God. at his word. I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. Look at your neighbor and say, and so if you got word, you can risk it. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting in here. If you got a word, then you can risk it. Abraham, leave your father's country. Well, if I leave my father's country, I'm leaving my inheritance. But it's not just like Abraham got up and had an idea. He had a word. Look at your neighbor and say, get a word. Come on here. Then you can risk it. I'm preaching way better than y'all are shouting. Business people and stock market folk calculate risk all day and every day. And in our understanding of that, they take the risk because it's calculated. In other words, they calculate it by what they put up based upon or juxtaposed to what the return is going to be or what the reward is going to be. Ah, God, there is an overwhelming reward when you obey God, when you do what he asks you to do. For the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Furthermore, God is not somebody that can be mocked. The universal law principle of the kingdom of God is that whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And then Jesus comes along and says to his disciples, no one has given up houses or lands or property or family for my sake that have not reaped a hundredfold in the self same year along with all of the persecution. So in other words, whatever you're going through, you better believe if it was by the word of God and he told you to do it, reward is on. I'm preaching to somebody the way. My God, ain't no way in the world he's going to allow you to go through all that you've been through just to go through it. He's taking you through it to get you somewhere. Slap your name and say, my reward is on the way. I'm talking to folk who done been through some stuff, who've been praying and believing and trusting in the Lord step by step, inch by inch. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in this place. Slap your neighbor high five and say, my reward is about to show up. As a matter of fact, I hear the Lord say, by this time tomorrow, somebody is going to walk into their reward. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know I'm talking to somebody. My reward about show up. Y'all sit down. Let me finish this thing. When we consider risk, when we look at it, when we contemplate it, when we think about it in negative terms. The reason why we think about it in negative terms is because you think I'm talking about adrenaline spiking. You think I'm talking about double or nothing, high stakes poker. Y'all ain't said nothing. You think I'm talking about, craps and blackjack and, you going in there and walking into Vegas, y'all ain't said nothing, and putting 10,000 on a horn high, yo, you don't even know what I'm talking about. You think 12, 3, or 2 going to come out, y'all ain't said nothing. Look at your neighbor and say, pastor ain't always been saved, y'all ain't said nothing, he ain't always been saved. I know a little few things, y'all ain't said nothing. And so you think this is Texas Hold'em, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about adrenaline spiking. I'm not talking about high stakes poker. I'm not talking about a crack shoot. I'm not talking about roulette. My God, I'm talking about the step-by-step approach that you have a word and you have an assignment and you have a direction. God has made your path straight. He says, get up, leave your father country. Why? Because I'm taking you somewhere. I'm about to make you great. I'm about to make you exceedingly great. I'm about to do in your life what people said could not be done. And I'm not asking you to leave all of that so that you can be an embarrassment. I'm not asking you to do all of that so folk can talk about you. I'm asking you to do that so when they talk about you, they say, this was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous. Oh, God, who am I talking to in here? Slap your neighbor and say, I'm about to master risk. Yes, I am. I'm about to master. I want to preach real quick about the art of risk. You got to understand what I'm talking about. We're real negative innately. You go somewhere and you especially black folk, y'all ain't said nothing. We are skeptical. You in the woods, is that a poisonous berry? It's just your backyard. Calm down. Relax. Nothing out there. Black folk walk around their neighborhood with a stick. Why? Because in case somebody dog jumped the gate. You run, they run. What happened? I don't know. He's running. Isn't it amazing that you believe something was happening without being informed, but you acted? Oh, drop the mic. Walk off the stage. You might as well believe God then. You believe something anyway. Let me finish my text here. Abraham is mastering risk at this moment because he's choosing to see risk. God, I'm preaching by the shout. He's choosing to see risk, not in the negative, but in the positive. Instead of saying, what can I lose? He's saying, what I'm going to get. See, with God, when you step out and trust him, the only thing you lose is you. You lose bad habits. You lose bad attitudes. You lose fears. I'm preaching better than y'all. Shout. You lose the stuff you don't need, but you gain everything. Am I talking right? He's mastering risk because he's not asking the question, what am I going to lose? He then asks the question, man, shoot, what am I going to get? And so in the text, it says that God comes to him and says, Abraham, fear not. Why? I am your shield. Meaning a test is coming and an attack maybe, but I am your shield. But not only am I your shield, I am also your exceeding, my God, great reward. So Abraham then has the gumption to say, what I'm going to get? I can't get help. You better start asking God about some stuff. He then says to God, okay, what I'm going to get? Because here's my reality, Lord. I don't have an heir. The only heir I have is one of my servants. And then God comes back to him and says, that ain't the heir I'm talking about. He says, okay, then how's going to happen? He says, come on, go outside with me. Look up into the heavens and try to count the stars. That's how I'm about to bless you. That's how great your seed is going to be. Look at your neighbor real quick and say, you better start asking God, what are you about to get? Because I promise you, he'll tell you. God doesn't ask you to risk something without informing you about what you're going to receive. I am preaching up in here. Woo, I'm having a good time doing it too. God will never ask you to risk something without telling you what you're going to receive. Let's put salvation on the table. Let's put your relationship with the Lord on the table. He says, whosoever, for God so loved the world that he gave, risk, his only begotten son, that whosoever reward, believe in him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So then, to follow Christ, I must lay down my life, risk. But the reward is that now I am a new creation. The old stuff of my life is dead and buried. But a new me resurrected, I'm preaching better than y'all, with power to be who God created me to be. Slap your neighbor and say, you better risk it. You better risk it. Stop trying to be all deep and philosophical and religious. You better risk. I'm preaching better y'all. Shout. You better risk it. What am I going to get? I don't have an heir. I have no seed. God said, look at the stars. See, the reward has way more capacity than what you think you've given up. And than what you think you're getting. I want you to notice that Abraham said, I have no seed. And then God says, go outside. And when he told him go outside, he says, count the stars. And I can only, Abraham saying, why am I counting stars? I just asked about a seed. And God's basically saying, count the stars, try to count them. You can't, because that's how great. Okay, no. I just want to make sure that's what he said. Yeah, okay. I'm right. Count the stars. And that's how great your seed shall be. So Abraham only has the capacity to believe God for a seed. Then God goes and show him, look at the reward, son. You see seed, he sees seeds. Oh, God, I'm preaching better your show. You see business, he see businesses. You see, oh, God, I'm preaching. You see your child, he sees generations. You slap your name and say the reward is off the hook, baby. God, I'm preaching, but I shout, it's not just for you, but it's for your community and your kids' kids and their kids. It's a generational thing. It's for society. It's off the hook. I mean, quit. Let me stop. I got to quit. I'm about to pop my head off. This word is about to make me lose my mind. God doesn't see what you see. And he's not in it for what you're in it for. You just want your bills paid, right? I know. I just want my bills paid. I want to live comfortably. I want to be able to travel. I want to. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching, God. Your ask is too small. I'm helping somebody right now. Because you just want it to be over. You want the pain to end. You want the problems to stop. Your ask is too small. If I'm going to go through something, I might as well get something out of it. I'm preaching way better than y'all. Let me close this thing out. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, all the hell I've been through, there better be a reward on the way. I done endured some hardship like a good soldier. My reward better about to show up in here. I've been praising God. I've been believing God. I've been trusting him. Give me 10 folk that really know how to praise God. And on this praise, your reward is about to hit you. Look at your name and say, excuse me, I got something on the line right here. I'm about to risk this praise for my reward. You better risk it. You better risk it. Woo! Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm risking it. I'm risking it. Oh, God, I'm trusting God in 2017 come hell or high water, because the reward is about to be off the. Come on, stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Ah! Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Somebody give God a shout of praise right now. There's victory in that praise. There's victory in that. Woo! All right. Oh! Y'all don't mess with me right now. Slap your neighbor and say, I got to risk a 30-second praise break, because there's some stuff I'm believing God for. Excuse me for a second while I give my God glory, because I expect to see some stuff in 2000. And y'all don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. Y'all don't mess with me. I'm trying to keep it cordial. Woo. Hallelujah. Oh. All right, listen. The Bible says, Lord, have mercy. You better get yours, honey. Woo! The Bible says that he believed. Watch me now. Not that he believed, that he just, he believed in the Lord. He believed in the Lord. And when he believed in the Lord, listen, this is powerful stuff. It was accounted to him as righteousness. The Bible says our righteousness is filthy rags. We don't have none. But what God was trying to tell Abraham was, listen, you're so concerned about this seed. He then comes along later on and tells him that one of your seeds are going to be the bright and morning star. Abraham wanted a son. God wanted a nation. So he asked Abraham to risk his son so that the reward could be a nation. I can promise you, whatever you want, it's not what God wants. Because you're just thinking in terms of circumstance. You're thinking in terms of problem. God is thinking in terms of promise. Hallelujah. And he believed in the Lord. 25, hallelujah, baby. Baby said, hallelujah. He like, I'm practicing on my hallelujah. I got some years. I'm gonna go. He waited 25 years for Isaac to show up. And when Isaac shows up, God put him to the test. He let him enjoy him for a few years and then says, listen, Abraham, I want you to get up and I want you to sacrifice Isaac. I want you to offer him as an offering, a burnt offering. Burnt offerings are not alive when they're burned. They're dead. So you want me to kill my son, then burn him, God? And the Bible says, if you were here Wednesday night, you heard this. Bible says Abraham went to sleep that night. If God asked me to do such a horrific thing, there's no way in the world I could sleep. He was at such a level of trust and dependency on God. He didn't bat an eyelash. And my only reasoning is that he had to know there ain't no way in the world God is about to allow this to happen. He gets up in the morning, takes two of his young men, saddles some donkeys, and off they go to a place where only God showed Abraham. Abraham sees the place afar off in the distance. He tells the young men, you can't go, but me and the young man, we're going to worship. And then he says something powerful, we'll be back. We'll be back. Because I know the God that I serve is not about to allow me to lose my promise. It's just got to be tested. Do you believe God? And he goes up to Mount Moriah and he binds Isaac, who is not a kid. He is a young man sharp enough to know and ask the question, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? Hey, Dad. It probably went like this. Yo, Pop. You said we was going to present a burnt offering. What we killing? And Abraham going to turn to him and say, the Lord will provide, son. Yeah, Joe, that's cute, Jehovah Jireh. Yeah, that's cute. But in Isaac's eyes, it's like, that's not cute. It's not fun and games. It's not cute. And he allows his dad. So not only did Abraham have to believe God, his son. Ah, I am preaching better than y'all. It's a generational fact. His son is getting firsthand knowledge on learning how to trust his father. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all. So Isaac has to trust his daddy, and Abraham is trusting his. Isaac is looking at his father like, I know you're not about to kill me. And Abraham is looking at his dad saying, I know you're not about to kill us. And as he raises the knife, God says, stop. Look. Here's something for you. The Bible says there's a ram caught in a thicket. I did some study on this. Rams don't get caught in thickets. They're too strong. A baby ram. Get yourself out of a thicket. Them horns start to grow. They're so strong. I was going to give you all that. I ain't got time. The point is, you get it. God caught something that wasn't supposed to be caught. I came to tell somebody today that your reward is not only on the way. God is about to catch it for you. And it ain't supposed to be caught. I don't know who that word is for. But I know it's for somebody. Come on, grab that hand. All across the room, grab that hand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this word. Father, there are situations, circumstances, yes, that we all face and have. But God, when we risk trusting you, it does not alleviate the problem. But it gives us the persistence and the perseverance to go through it and to face it. And to confront it, trusting you all the way, knowing that you make all things work together for our good, knowing that the trying of our faith is working patience. Father, I pray right now that we learn how to endure to get the reward, that we learn how to face it so that we can receive what's on the other side of it. Father, I thank you for rewards showing up all over this church because we trust you and we believe you and we depend and stand on your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. You agree? Shout amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise on that. Woo! Come on, slap two or three people high five and say, my reward is on the way, honey. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Lift those hands, receive the blessing of the Lord. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. May his precious blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' name, you agree. Shout amen. God bless you. We love you. I hope you were blessed. If you're visiting, go see our team. We love to see you. I'll be out there to greet you. Go to that table, back to church. God bless you. If you need an envelope from the ushers, they have them in the back for you. God bless you. It's just got to be tested. Do you believe God? And it goes up to Mount Moriah. Finds Isaac, who is not a kid. He is a young man sharp enough to know and ask the question, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? Hey, Dad. It probably went like this. Yo, Pop. You said we was going to present a burnt offering. What we killing? And Abraham going to turn to him and say, the Lord will provide, son. Yeah, Joe, that's cute, Jehovah Jireh. Yeah, that's cute. But in Isaac's eyes, it's like, that's not cute. It's not fun and games. It's not cute. And he allows his dad. So not only did Abraham have to believe God, his son. Ah, I am preaching better than y'all. It's a generational fact. His son is getting firsthand knowledge on learning how to trust his father. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all. So Isaac has to trust his daddy, and Abraham is trusting his. Isaac is looking at his father like, I know you're not about to kill me. And Abraham is looking at his dad saying, I know you're not about to kill us. And as he raises the knife, God says, stop. Look. Here's something for you. The Bible says there's a ram caught in a thicket. I did some study on this. Rams don't get caught in thickets. They're too strong. A baby ram. Get yourself out of a thicket. Them horns start to grow. They're so strong. I was going to give you all that. I ain't got time. The point is, you get it. God caught something that wasn't supposed to be caught. I came to tell somebody today that your reward is not only on the way. God is about to catch it for you. And it ain't supposed to be caught. I don't know who that word is for. But I know it's for somebody. Come on, grab that hand. All across the room, grab that hand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this word. Father, there are situations, circumstances, yes, that we all face and have. But God, when we risk trusting you, it does not alleviate the problem. But it gives us the persistence and the perseverance to go through it and to face it. And to confront it, trusting you all the way, knowing that you make all things work together for our good, knowing that the trying of our faith is working patience. Father, I pray right now that we learn how to endure to get the reward, that we learn how to face it so that we can receive what's on the other side of it. Father, I thank you for rewards showing up all over this church because we trust you and we believe you and we depend and stand on your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. You agree? Shout amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise on that. Woo! Come on, slap two or three people high five and say, my reward is on the way, honey. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Lift those hands, receive the blessing of the Lord. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. May his precious blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' name, you agree. Shout amen. God bless you. We love you. I hope you were blessed. If you're visiting, go see our team. We love to see you. I'll be out there to greet you. Go to that table, back to church. God bless you. If you need an envelope from the ushers, they have them in the back. He waited 25 years for Isaac to show up. And when Isaac shows up, God put him to the test. He let him enjoy him for a few years and then says, listen, Abraham, I want you to get up and I want you to sacrifice Isaac. I want you to offer him as an offering, a burnt offering. Burnt offerings are not alive when they're burned. They're dead. So you want me to kill my son, then burn him, God? And the Bible says, if you were here on Wednesday night, you heard this. The Bible says Abraham went to sleep that night. If God asked me to do such a horrific thing, there's no way in the world I could sleep. He was at such a level of trust and dependency on God. He didn't bat an eyelash. And my only reasoning is that he had to know there ain't no way in the world God is about to allow this to happen. He gets up in the morning, takes two of his young men, saddles some donkeys, and off they go to a place where only God showed Abraham. Abraham sees the place afar off in the distance. He tells the young man, you can't go, but me and the young man, we're going to worship. And then he says something powerful. We'll be back. We'll be back. Because I know the God that I serve is not about to allow me to lose my promise. It's just got to be tested. Do you believe God? And he goes up to Mount Moriah and he binds Isaac, who is not a kid. He is a young man sharp enough to know, and asks the question, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? Hey, Dad. It probably went like this. Yo, Pop. You said we was going to present a burnt offering. What we killing? And Abraham, I'm going to turn to him and say, the Lord will provide, son. Yeah, Joe, that's cute, Jehovah Jireh. Yeah, that's cute. But in Isaac's eyes, it's like, that's not cute. It's not fun and games. It's not cute. And he allows his dad. So not only did Abraham have to believe God, his son. Ah, I am preaching better than y'all. It's a generational thing. His son is getting firsthand knowledge on learning how to trust his father. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all. So Isaac has to trust his daddy, and Abraham is trusting his. Isaac is looking at his father like, I know you're not about to kill me. And Abraham is looking at his dad saying, I know you're not about to kill us. And as he raises the knife, God says, stop. Look. Here's something for you. The Bible says there's a ram caught in a thicket. I did some study on this. Rams don't get caught in thickets. They're too strong. A baby ram. Get yourself out of a thicket. Them horns start to grow. They're so strong. I was going to give you all that. I ain't got time. The point is, you get it. God caught something that wasn't supposed to be caught. I came to tell somebody today that your reward is not only on the way. God's about to catch it for you. And it ain't supposed to be caught. I don't know who that word is for. But I know it's for somebody. Come on, grab that hand. All across the room, grab that hand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this word. Father, there are situations, circumstances, yes, that we all face and have. But God, when we risk trusting you, it does not alleviate the problem. But it gives us the persistence and the perseverance to go through it and to face it. And to confront it, trusting you all the way, knowing that you make all things work together for our good, knowing that the trying of our faith is working patience. Father, I pray right now that we learn how to endure to get the reward, that we learn how to face it so that we can receive what's on the other side of it. Father, I thank you for rewards showing up all over this church because we trust you and we believe you and we depend and stand on your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. You agree? Shout amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise on that. Woo! Come on, slap two or three people high five and say, my reward is on the way, honey. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Lift those hands, receive the blessing of the Lord. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. May his precious blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' name, you agree. Shout amen. God bless you. We love you. I hope you were blessed.